Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sarah Ibrahim. Today, I'm interviewing Grace Lee. Grace is a social media agency owner, strategist, content creator, and podcaster based in New York City. She started in the social media space as a personal style blogger in 2010 and shifted to working in social media in a corporate setting after college. In 2020, she started Gracefully Made Social Media Agency, where she and her team focus on storytelling through content creation, organic social growth, and brand strategy on various platforms. Her mission lies in helping brands find their voice on social media platforms while enriching those communities to help meet business goals. Grace, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to interviewing you and getting to know you. Do you mind sharing with us more about your background and what you do?
Yeah, so I have been in the social media space for more than a decade, about 12 years now. I started in 2010, very early stages where blogging was actually predominant in this digital space. It was a lot of like fashion bloggers and bloggers emerging into this area. And I kind of got in that early start as a blogger. Didn't know that it would turn into anything, but that's when Instagram also was the year Instagram came to be a platform. And it was originally like a photo sharing app. And we were all, of course, interested in what this could be. Fast forward to now, over the years, it's developed into more of like a huge marketing platform for individuals, to entrepreneurs, to businesses, and so forth. So that's really where I really shifted in my career, you know, going to college and having this blogger background and figuring out, okay, you know, I have an online presence. How can I make this work for a full-time job? I graduated from UNC Chapel Hill and from the journalism school. And that's when I started really showing interest into social media. It was early stages again. I don't think they had any classes regarding to social media back when I was in school, as they do now, and started exploring it and interning in New York City. I got my foot in the door there, and then I built my agency in 2020, and it's been, yeah, up and running ever since.
And you say 2020, so did it have any impact with COVID, or was that just a coincidence that it was 2020?
Actually, COVID hit it really hard. I started like January, and COVID kind of really took on in March. So I went full force for 2 months, and it crashed right then and there. But it was good for me because I used that time to like the summer months to really develop and figure out what it is I wanted instead of just kind of diving right in. So it was a good learning curve.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned, yeah, blogging like in 2010. I remember those days. I think our attention spans were longer back in 2010 than they are right now. Do you see any difference in like blogging then versus now? Like I haven't even heard of anyone say the word blog in a while. What are your thoughts on that?
It's definitely evolved in the sense that I think the only times if I were to look at blogs are if I'm traveling and you just happen to Google something like travel guides and you just stumble across a blog that, you know, has tips. But for the most part, you're right. I really think that everyone's attention span with TikTok, you know, yeah, up and on the rise and Instagram being shorter with videos, I think that it's like how much the question is really how much quicker can you make the content?
Right, exactly. And then do you think like every business or maybe every small business should be on some sort of digital marketing platform or social media platform?
I do think so. In, you know, to some extent, I really think it depends on the business. Mm-hmm. For instance, you know, I think social media really has the advantage with the smaller businesses and companies that may be out in Wyoming or something like in the middle of nowhere where you would never hear of them, but you come across them on social media. So I really do think that it really opens doors. And I think if people were to see it in that sense versus why are we putting money behind apps to get us to places? But if you use it correctly, I really think it could take you a long way.
And tell us a little bit more about like your agency, like what kind of services do you specialize in? Who are your clients? And can you give us like an example of like working with you?
Yeah. So my agency, it consists of three services: social media management, social media strategy, and content creation. And it really took me a while there to figure out like what I really wanted to do within the agency, and it's pivoted multiple times. But these three core things have really been the ones that I am very passionate about. In terms of management, that is kind of like that posting, scheduling, the admin work, as you can say, as like the hashtag research, the copy, when to post, when, how to optimize your feed, your page. So that's all within the management, and I do have a team that helps me with that. In terms of the strategy, this is the part where I take lead here because I love strategy building, and this can range from, helping people figure out strategy on Instagram or figuring out like how can we, build someone's story from the ground up and take their social media to X amount of like whatever goal the client has. Like I really help them. It's everything's tailored. So that's where in the strategy calls, it's very personalized in the sense that everyone has a different journey and path. And that's been really fun. And then lastly, content creation. This is where we kind of execute that strategy. And I am on the grounds with my team here in New York City. And we will be running around the city or elsewhere. We do travel for our clients, and we'll shoot our clients with for photos and video content.
That makes sense. It's like almost like a full service, like social media agency. And then you mentioned posting. So for example, like if I hired you guys and you were posting about like financial tips and strategies, you guys would be the one writing the content, like writing the actual post. But what if like people are engaging then, like other people now like are like posting on that or commenting? Would you guys be the ones that reply to that, or is that like the client then replies, or how does that work?
So a lot of this, it's kind of tricky because some clients are companies and some clients are individuals. And I never like to speak for someone. Like I don't like to be that robotic voice. And so there's like a fine line between how we work things out. So again, everything is tailored. I kind of like let the client know how things work around here. And if they feel comfortable with how, they give us like pit points on how to respond, we'll always respond in the voice of the company. But for the most part, clients like to take that. Like DMs, they'll take it. So it's kind of nice that that part is still, on brand with the individual client.
Right, because I could see from a social media perspective, that's probably the most important thing, right, in social media is interactions, not just the posting part, but the interacting and building those relationships with people on, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all the platforms.
Yeah. No, interaction is it's huge because you're community building.
Right,
Yes. So
exactly.
it's tricky, but we make it work.
Right, exactly. And I could also see, like, for example, when you meet somebody like face to face and you shake their hand and then you have this impression about them. Same thing online, right? Like you have this digital impression about somebody and it carries it forward. This is how like people get like thousands of followers online. It's through their like interactions with people, the impressions they've left with people.
Exactly. So I think the worst part is when a client will come across like, let's just say a company, and it's like the same line for every person, or same emoji or something, like something's up or it's another person behind the screen.
Right, exactly. There's that genuine part. Do you have any tips for like small business owners? 'Cause I think that's who's most listening to this podcast is small business owners. I wish like Fortune 500 executives were listening to this podcast, but statistically speaking, I don't think so. I think it's mostly going to be small business owners. So do you have any tips for small business owners for things that they could implement, like social media wise, digital marketing wise, for them to kind of get a boost in their business? I guess like small tips that are pretty quick to implement.
Pretty quick to implement. Okay, so I do work with a lot of small business owners. So this is actually where I kind of guide them to their first point is I'll say, for instance, like for usually with small businesses, they automatically think because they are business owners, they know how businesses operate. So they'll immediately go to like chapter two, which is kind of like, okay, I need to hire a videographer or like someone to film my social media, and I need to have someone posting this. And they jump to all these other things without knowing that the actual first step in order to execute anything, you need a plan, which is the easiest. Oh, easiest, I guess, in quotations. So I would say first is kind of figure out that plan. It's that structure of, okay, what are the goals? Like, what are the main, things, whether it's tips or I don't know, let's just say your business is a jewelry business. Like, what are the valuable stuff, the information that you want to put on this page? What is the purpose, the goals that you are trying to accomplish with social media? And, if their goal is to, let's just say, brand awareness or to get new clients, then maybe that's more of, hey, you should share your, in order for someone to learn more about you, you need to share your story. Like, how are we going to buy anything if we don't know what your values are and your mission and who you are as a, company? So I would really say is like, hey, go backwards and kind of ask yourself, like, what do I have to offer for like these people? Like, what value that do I have like with building this company? Maybe it's my experience. Maybe it's my background in doing like five jobs prior to being in the jewelry business. So it's really just like going, asking yourself those questions and figuring out what values that you can provide
Yeah,
for
that's really
people.
important. Like, kind of getting back to your foundation and like really like zoning in or like focusing on your why. And you're so right. I see that too a lot in business in general, where people jump to like the 10th step. Like, I need to hire a video production company. I need, this kind of camera. I need all these other things. And really, they're kind of all over the place in as far as business. And it's very similar to the way you were describing the steps is very similar to the financial planning steps. Like, because when you work with clients in a financial planning setting, there's literally an infinite amount of things you could do with clients. So you can't just give recommendations right away because you don't know what they truly believe in, what their goals are, where they are financially. You need to identify what those are, those qualities they have, and then make the suitable recommendations. And then the recommendations you make could be one for next month, one for the next 6 months, one for 5 years from now, and slowly break it down. And I see that a lot of similarities in the planning side of social media, like really zone in on your why, your story. I think I like that you mentioned the story part, because I think that that is the most appealing part in brand awareness and sharing is like, even for example, like, have you heard of the story brand like model with I think Don Miller?
No, but I know you mentioned it before on your
Yeah. Oh, really?
podcast.
Yeah. So he Don Miller, he's this awesome like writer. He talks about the story brand where like you have a character and then there's a story. I think a lot of commercials, even when you're watching like a shampoo commercial or something really random on TV or online, the store there's a story behind it. And I think the whole story part is super powerful in marketing and branding.
I agree. It's so tough because you're trying to. It's kind of like finance. This is how I actually feel about finance, is that I have difficulty like understanding the jargon and the language behind finance and how things connect. But I guess people feel the same way with social media. So when I'm trying to explain certain things of like, no, you don't need to always have like 2,000 likes on a post to in order for it to be successful. And people don't understand why it was important to share certain stories instead of the thing that does well. And it's kind of like a building, just building trust. And I think that goes also with finances. Like, you have to trust the advisor in the things that the steps you're taking. So it's kind of, I mean, again, similarities in how things progress.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's not really like about like the tools you're using or the websites you have or the things you have. It's you. That's who clients are essentially hiring is you. It's you. It's working with you. And I think that's the most important thing. And my next question was going to be like, if you're listening to this podcast, you want to hire a social media agency, what are some things you should look out for?
I would say there's a lot of agencies out there. There's a lot of people with different viewpoints. I would say definitely focus, like, the agency should be into your favor. I think a lot of times the agency kind of, like, there's a lot of agencies I've heard of from horror stories from other clients saying that a lot of the time they'll make it about themselves rather than the client. So maybe when you are screening these agencies and, talking to the lead strategist and just asking like, hey, like, what are the steps you are taking to, get us to X, Y, and Z? Or like, are they being transparent with what they do? There's a lot of shady stuff that happen with agencies where they'll, do weird things and not tell you. So it's really building that open relationship, and I like to be very transparent with how I do everything because it is virtual and people can't physically see what I'm doing. So it's kind of, do they trust me enough to take that leap?
Yeah, I think one shady thing that somebody could do is like tell you they got to write copy for you and then go use like ChatGPT and
You know
then
that I've had clients use ChatGPT for their captions, and I can tell. And I'm like, you didn't write this. And they're like, but I made it, I used it in the friendly tone. And I'm like, no. It's, yeah,
I
it's
think
very.
I think there's a time and place for it. Like it's okay to use ChatGPT. I think that there's just like the when you're writing about your story, it has to be genuine. It has to come from your heart. It has to include even like your choice of words, your language in the writing.
Exactly. I was like, a robot can't, AI can't do that. I people are so fascinated right now. There's like Photoshop done with AI, and people are like over the moon over like, okay, we don't have to edit anymore. And I'm like, no, there's pros and cons.
There definitely there's a, yeah there's pros and cons for sure. How can listeners connect with you? I guess two part question. So what could someone learn like reaching out to you? What could they like learn? What could they do reaching out to you? Or what do they get experience reaching out to you? And how can they reach out to you?
Okay, so if you were to reach out to me, I think a big thing that I really stand for with my agency is building longevity with a brand. And I would really help someone understand the big picture and what it means to have a social media plan, or not even just a plan, because people think social media is like the fun aspect of, like, people don't consider it as work. But to be honest, the amount of businesses that have soared and just blew up from TikTok alone over the past, years, is just astounding. And I think that we can learn a thing or two from that, just from people being vulnerable and sharing things that they're maybe not comfortable with. I think that, like I said, with longevity, every path is different. There's so many people. I have clients who go viral all the time, and then I have other clients who just sit there, and I'm like, just, and I have to kind of mentor them and let them know, hey, like, your journey is not the same as his, because he just, it works for him and his industry, but that's not to say it doesn't work for you. And I think that's so tricky when I'm like telling people that that they can get there, and they see someone else erupt, and it's like that comparison game on social media. And it's really hard, especially like where I'm at, because I'm still dealing with this, where I'll have people just constantly complaining that they're not moving. And I'm like, you're doing everything right. Be patient, because it's like, I wish there was like a guidebook or a handbook for social media, but there isn't. And we kind of have to just take it as it comes.
Right, I imagine it's exponential growth, right? Like you'll go from having like two followers to like 10 to like 500, and then it could potentially be like 20,000. It's like huge incremental jumps, right? That's how typically like people like become very viral online.
Yes, and I always like tell people, I will never help, I will never like get you viral, I'll never get you X amount of followers. Like, that's not what I do, because how can, that's a lot of, one, that's a lot of pressure, and two, every business and person is different. So one thing that I always say is that, hey, are you building value with like the people that the community, like, I can help you get community, I can help you get more interaction, engagement with people by really developing the storytelling, because a lot of people don't know how to tell. They know how to obviously share stories about themselves and their backgrounds, but they don't know how to do it online. And I think that's a skill, is to be able to hook someone virtually from around the world to watch you talk for 30 seconds on a video. I think that is something that people struggle with, and I think that's where I come in. And for someone who's interested in, like, sharing their story, I can really help bridge that gap between doing it online and doing it in person.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, being able to hook people and bring them in. I think that's really important. I think I mean I'm interested in learning how to do that really. Like I have some things we do a lot of podcasting, guest podcasting and host podcasting. I think that's probably the best thing we're doing right now is podcasting, but we still have a lot of room for improvement. How can listeners connect with you?
Well, if they're interested in my services, my website is gracefullymade.com. And I also am on social media. So Instagram at By Grace Lee, also TikTok at By Grace Lee. I was going to say you can also find me on LinkedIn.
Sounds good. I'll be sure to add in all the links you mentioned in the show notes below. It was a pleasure interviewing you and getting to know you, Grace.
Same here. Thank you so much, Sari.
Thanks. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's FIN asset protection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.